Hi, guys. Welcome to the Church Split. My name is Will. We got Brian with us today.
What's up, heretics?
And you guys know what we do here. We help you escape your church's echo chamber, learn to think biblically, and of course, challenge the status quo, which always needs challenging. But first, don't forget to like and subscribe, leave a comment down below, 5-star reviews on all audio platforms, and support us on Patreon if you would like, for as low as $1 a month. And if you want some theological education, please check out my friends at Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary. Now, with that being said, Brian and I, we scrapped our entire show that we were going to cover.
Threw it out. I had all the notes. Threw it out.
All of it. Just to talk about this. And Brian was very upset because he put a lot of work into the notes of the other one and he just finished them. And I texted him with a whole new idea.
I was like, come on, man.
Can you believe he doesn't even get paid for this? We don't get paid. Anyway.
My lunch break for it.
It's okay. It's all right. But we have to talk about this because for those of you guys who have been living under a metaphorical rock recently, some crazy drama has busted out in the church world, and especially and specifically in the evangelical church world, with Mark Driscoll, a male stripper, and mega churches. What could possibly go wrong?
I can't believe we're covering this.
I can't believe I'm saying these words. It's like the episode you never thought was actually going to happen.
It's one of those stories, like, I don't know if I can actually type this into Google to find more information about it, because that's going to be my search history.
Yeah. Mark Driscoll,
male stripper.
Literally, I felt like what just collecting images for the thumbnail, I should confess my sins. So it was, yes. So anyway, this has been kind of a shock to the system, because it's even more of a shock that, Brian, not so long ago, I did a response video to Mark Driscoll, basically calling him a theological wuss, essentially. Like, his theology was poor. I didn't think he was very good at this stuff. I also the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast really has beaten him into the ground. So there's so many things that make me not for Mark Driscoll. Yeah. And it's weird because today I side with him and I don't know what to do about that. I'm kind of having a crisis right now.
We can call out bad behavior, and we can promote good behavior and truth seeking.
Hey, man, if this is Driscoll 100% of the time, I'm here for it. Like, if this is like what Mark is going to be from here on out, let's roll. So I don't want to waste any guys' time, but I do want us to watch this. So first off, it was this big men's conference, and Driscoll was one of the speakers there. And they opened up the conference with a performance by a man named Alex Magala. And I think that's how you say his name. He's been on Britain's Got Talent. He's done all sorts of stuff. You go check out the stuff on his website, because the fact of him being a stripper is not found on his website. So
you didn't want to add that detail.
I can't imagine why not. But so what I want us to do is I'm just going to have us watch briefly the performance. I'm going to pull this up over here because this guy, you should go follow him, Caden, here on Twitter. He actually shared all this. So I am going to pull up this clip and we are going to watch it. Sound good?
Let's do it. This is how they opened up the men's conference.
For the record, I look that good.
I don't know if you want to be comparing yourself to this guy.
For our audio audience, I do apologize. You'll just have to watch the clip later, but feel free to fast forward ahead.
If you're watching this and wondering, is this the start of a men's Christian conference? Yes, it is.
That's like some casual Lord's Name in vainness being sprinkled in.
Yeah. Point is going to be, this is what you can do without the Holy Spirit. Imagine what you can do with.
I can do all things through Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Or in his sense, he can do all things without a moral compass. This is actually nuts right here.
And he's dead. Nope.
Ta-da!
Those guys are very excited in the front row. Like, this is the best men's conference I've ever been to. Last time it was just a guy karate chopping wood.
Last time it was just a guy karate chopping wood. So yeah, first things first. It was an impressive display. Okay, can we just get that out of the way?
Yeah, it was impressively terrifying.
Yeah, like right when I was watching it, when he did the drop, I was like, get out of here. Yes, but let's first address this. No, okay. Yes, it was a great performance. Yes, he's very well trained. He has worked very hard at this. But is this really something that should be opening up a Christian conference?
Yeah, a little bit odd.
Let's just be honest. Probably a Christian at a Christian conference, or probably should it be like a strip tease kind of performance, which is what that like ripping off the shirt thing kind of is, which Driscoll does point out here in a minute. And it you definitely should be hire a known stripper. Now, before people think I'm crazy, I'm only going to show this on the screen briefly because it makes me really uncomfortable. But he is a male stripper. You can see that right there. Okay. We used our logo to give the man some modesty.
Apparently, you know, he doesn't seek on his own.
Yeah, no kidding. So we wanted to help him there, plus for my own sanity on this show. So he is a male stripper, or at least he was. And we can't see it on there, but for we don't have any sort of sign that he has been repentant of that or that there's been a changed life. It just seems like he was someone hired to do a performance. And judging by everything that we've seen of him and the research I've done, I don't think he's a repentant Christian. So therefore, I do not believe we can actually say that, you know, it's a new leaf situation. So they hired somebody who definitely shouldn't have been opening this conference.
You think you'd check that a little bit? Like, I'm not saying like get like super deep in the references, but maybe the checkbox of not a stripper or former stripper would be one of the criteria for a Christian conference.
100%. And like, also, there's so many independent artists out there that are Christian that why couldn't you have found a Christian independent artist to do impressive things, right? Now, granted, there probably could be more Christians that could probably do something. I was talking to Dr. Pritchett earlier, and he's like, well, I mean, I doubt there's a single Christian man in the audience that could do anything remotely that awesome. So,
yeah, but they could do shout out. They could do like a cool thing where they, you know, they can drink like 12 cups of coffee in 10 minutes. Like, that would be. That'd be a feat of strength from probably.
But like, regardless, right? The man, Alex here, has performed on Britain's Got Talent and has done many great things. But this, he, like, as far as impressive things, but that does not mean that suddenly we are okay with it. Just because the real question is what is the point of such a performance? And the point of such a performance should be to make what just generate hype. Is that what they're really trying to do? Because it really should be something about. That's pointing to both masculinity and Christianity, right? It shouldn't be something that's just like, well, look at this guy doing impressive things and we don't care about his lifestyle. So that is an issue. So
I don't even know that would even qualify necessarily as a masculine performance. Besides doing some things that require some strength, I wouldn't actually call it a very masculine performance. And it's kind of funny to think about too, Will, with you. You did a response video not too long ago. I forget which college it was that regretted hiring and not fully vetting out a speaker at a Christian creation conference because they didn't know that he had hippie hair and wasn't King James only. Like, they're like kicking themselves like, oh shoot, we should have known he had long hair one time and King James only. Okay, there's that side of the spectrum, and then there's this where I feel like you should do some bare minimum checking on just background information. And yeah, I don't know that necessarily you want like an unsaved person that's performing. It's almost like it almost has this feeling where it, like the Gladiators or something, where you're just watching the unwashed sinners to just entertain the elect as they can look on and go, oh, I remember when I was unsaved and strong and now I have a family and I'm fat. Like, I don't know what the point of this was, besides it was just maybe a stark contrast.
Well, it goes back into the, you know, the idea of most of these evangelical churches now, a lot of them will resort to just pure entertainment tactics, and that's not okay. And, you know, as somebody who's a pastor in an evangelical church, I find that very concerning. And it's like, well, that shouldn't be, because every time you have something like this, for every one of these situations, you have thousands of other churches that didn't commit that. But because of the venue and everything, it makes the entire thing, people start brushing at all with a broad brush. The same thing happens, like, let's say with Catholicism. Every time there's an abuse story with a priest, everyone's like, oh, all priests are creeps, when it's really very few priests are, and also few priests compared to public schools. Actually, like, if you actually look at the statistics of sexual abusers, like, in a public school versus in a Catholic church, but everyone associates Catholic church with that, because once that gets pushed out in the front, now it's labeled on everybody. Now all evangelical churches are shallow little performance halls, as opposed to places where people get their biblical growth. So this is, it makes us look bad. And it's like, and apparently this men's conference is actually a thing that they do regularly. And apparently in the past, they just had like crazy stuff like monster trucks or, you know, other things that are just considered like masculine to like get the men hyped for this conference. I have no problem generating hype. I have no problem with entertainment to the degree of like we're at a conference, so we're going to have like multiple different things going on here. I'm not even saying I have a problem with that necessarily, of course, like as long as it's not like your every Sunday event and that's your idea of worship. But the idea of like, well, there's a lot of other things you could do than to hire somebody so questionable.
Well, I think we all have different opinions, right, on like worship style of service, what type of music, what type of instruments. Some people don't like the purple or blue lights. Some people don't like the fog machines. Like, there's a whole range of like standards and preferences when it comes to worship style in churches. I think, though, there's probably going to be almost universal support for not having male strippers on a pole with a sword down their throat as part of the worship service, or even right, part of a Christian conference. Take it a little bit past the church building.
And bottom line is, if the guy probably didn't, like, let's also be real, if the guy does like rip off his shirt and then lick his sword in such a sensual manner, probably no one would have really even talked about this. But
yeah.
But because those things happened, and then people are like, who the heck is this guy? And then they found out that this guy was a male stripper. That right there is your problem. So right after this, Mark Driscoll actually goes up and he actually makes a statement, because he was supposed to be a speaker there. So he actually gets up there soon after this. And this is what he has. I think
it's technically the next day, actually.
Is it the next day?
I think it's the next day.
So this is what he's
thinking and praying for the conference, and part of the opening statement he makes overnight.
Oh, you're right. It is. Yeah, you're right. So it is the next day. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So now let's go ahead and watch what Mark Driscoll's response was.
We're going to talk about how to be an Elijah and how to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burdened for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our vent. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was opened, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in a strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword and And Jesus Christ, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
Good for Mark Driscoll on that. I gotta also say he took that with absolute class. Like, he's like, you're done, Mark. And he goes, you know, all right, I'll receive that. And just walks off like with class. I highly respect that. Because based on what everyone has said, like on Rise and Fall of Mars Hill and things, what people said about Mark, that's not normally what he would do. So he handles it with class, but he's not wrong, right? He isn't wrong. But he's like, these are things that we would associate with a strip club. And come to find out, he was a stripper. I don't know if Mark knew at this point whether or not. I saw that there, I think there was a video or a statement by Mark. I haven't watched it yet. Maybe he did some research and found out who he was and why he said something. I don't know. But regardless, he did do well. And the very fact that Pastor John there felt like he should shut him down when clearly people were also cheering it on. So I'm going to guess, based on the response from the crowd, that Mark wasn't alone in his feelings regarding that.
Yeah. And it was kind of interesting. So when I first heard about this, I actually just listened to what Mark was saying. And I was like, what is he exaggerating about now? Like, I thought he was exaggerating. Like, I thought he was, I was like, okay, high place. Okay, it's a stage. Like, you're on a high place right now. And he's like, stripper pole. I'm like, wait, really? And he's like, and then he ripped open his clothes like a stripper. I was like, wait, what? I was like, pause, rewind. I actually got to... I was listening to it on YouTube. I was like, let me actually look what's going on. I was like, oh my gosh, he's actually telling the truth. He's actually, I think, being a little bit kind.
Yeah, well, absolutely he is. And that he was, but you could tell that the way he actually approached it was very much classy. Like he handled it humbly. I felt like he handled it properly. Like, I actually think he did a really good job there. Yeah. So and this sort of thing happens way too much in evangelical churches in general, where something like ridiculous is going on there. But and it makes us look ridiculous. Like, I can't tell you how many times like per year you'll hear something crazy, but I think this might be the craziest one. The next thing I'm waiting for is at the next like ladies conference, you have it being opened with a drag queen story hour, you know, where that's like, what's next? Once you have a male stripper at a men's conference, what is the next point? Well, the scripture reading will be done by sister so-and-so. It is like some sort of guy dressed in drag. I can't honestly believe that this is where we're at. But this is now that just being told you're done, Mark, by Pastor John. Now, I think we should probably real quick before we continue any further, talk about, or at least see first, and then talk about what Pastor John Lindell had to say regarding this. You want to check that out real quick, Brian?
Yeah, let's do it.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
Ooh, they're upset.
Let me just say this. If Mark wanted to say that, he should have said it to me first. He did. Matthew 18. If your brother offends you, go to him privately. I talked to Mark for a half hour. There was not one word of that. He's out of line. If you wanted to say it, he could say it to me. You may not agree with me. You may not agree with him. But we are brothers in Christ, and there's a right way to handle disagreement.
Uh-huh. So, first off, people be big mad about that situation. So, but before we talk about the Matthew 18 bit, like Brian, you and I have some words to say there. And I think that's kind of more the meat of this episode.
Yeah.
But Pastor John here references Matthew 18, but let's say Pastor John's exegesis of this text is correct. First off, Pastor John has it wrong. He goes, he gets up there, he goes, you know, he should have spoken to me. Is the Matthew 18 says that if your brother offends you, it does not say offends. It says sins against you. It's not about this pity offense thing, because offense is in the eye of the beholder. I think like only a few translations say offense. It means sins against you. Because offense, again, is subjective, it shifts. No, it's the idea of dealing with their sin. But in addition, he says this, that Mark is out of line. But the question is, let's say he's correct, who committed the greater sin? Was it the person who brought in a male stripper to kick off a conference for to lead men into something spiritually greater than themselves? Like, because this was, it's supposed to be like a discipleship conference, right? A men's discipleship group. And you brought in a male stripper to perform and do strippy things, to do something that probably even boosted the guy's ego and pride. And you also paid him probably a substantial amount of money. So I'm sure he got paid very well, which, by the way, that money probably came from people who tithe in your church. So people who give to the church for the betterment of the ministry, and then you use it to spend it on a male stripper to perform in this discipleship. It's just, there's so many layers to it.
Yeah, it keeps unraveling.
Or the guy who just says in front of a group of people, that was big bad, bro.
Yeah, that was sinful. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we see examples from scripture. We bring this up quite often in some online interactions, is you know, we already have an example of this in scripture with Paul and Peter. Peter is acting sinfully in public. He is causing problems within the body of believers. And Paul calls him out publicly to his face and for the rest of us to read for generations upon generations. And so Paul shows that. He says, Peter stood condemned, and I confronted him. And then he repented and understood where he went wrong. So we have biblical evidence of confronting public sin with public rebuke already.
Right. And that's the big thing here, right? There's a difference between, you know, Brian, I sinned against you when, you know, or you sinned against me. We're all hanging out and there's a sin that takes place. Well, and now we have to reconcile on our own, right? Like, hey, it was between us, a small group of people. I'm going to go to you. We're going to work it out and it'll be okay. Which, by the way, you and I have both done before.
Yeah.
With each other. The thing is that once you go up there and you do something publicly, unrepentantly publicly, as a public figure, you not only welcome, but it demands that a public rebuke is made, unless you publicly apologize in advance. Because you just did it in front of an entire group. It looks like there's thousands of people there. That's a lot of stadium. People.
It's not like even a small, one of those little, like where I'm from, local, you know, the stadium or arena. This is a big event center.
Right, exactly. So you have a lot of people there and you just led them all into sin and temptation, and you platformed this this unbelieving person to lead people into your spiritual event, who also lives a very carnal lifestyle, evidently. It's like, okay, well,
we can hedge that bet a little bit. We don't know, I guess, his faith, but it sure seems based on his history that he's led a very carnal life.
Right. And so you have all that here. Now you have front loaded this entire situation with that. Does that not warrant another pastor of this event to go up there and properly pastor, which means to shepherd the people? Like, shouldn't he be like, all right, hold on, I need to take a moment here to shepherd the people? Because he felt probably convicted about it. I mean, I think you and I would have been that same way a little bit there if we were there, especially if we found out later on he was a male stripper and you and I were just sitting there. We'd probably be like, this is weird. Like,
yeah,
I'm uncomfortable. Like,
and how would Driscoll have felt, and how would people have treated Driscoll if he hadn't said anything like, wait, so you were okay with this thing?
Right. I mean, people get mad at Francis Chan for just hanging out with some of the people he's hung around. Like, he's been around people who've been friendly to people who are like the prosperity gospel sold out, like individuals, let alone somebody like that. Mark's got enough controversy that follows him. And this is like, this is good Mark, though. This is what he should be doing. This is like, because say what you want about the man, but he has courage. And there's a certain level of strength there that is a good thing. And if he could do that and do good things with that all the time, man, I'd probably be the guy cheering him on the most, because there are certain things he says that I am 100% behind him. And I feel like Mark Driscoll has a little bit of that Trump situation with him, maybe, which is like when he does something really, really right, it's really, really right. And when he does something wrong, it's really,
really like, cover your eyes.
It's either hot or cold. There is no in between. So anyway, public actions from public figures warrant and welcome and demand a public response. John Lindell didn't sin against only Mark either. And that's kind of one of the things here that seems to be missed by John. It's not that John sinned against Mark only. He sinned against every single person in that room. So, which is why Matthew 18 doesn't necessarily apply strictly, because that's what happens there. We get that all the time too, from people who get mad when you and I do rebukes or responses to pastors on the channel.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how many times have we seen that with like Pastor Sexton or others? Like,
oh yeah. And then we get a public rebuke from them as well, which is just kind of ironic.
Yeah, exactly. Which, but the irony is, Brian, and I'll let you go ahead and mention this one, because this is, you mentioned it to me over the phone and you just kind of hinted to it right there.
There's an
irony here.
So John Lindell goes out, and so he's saying that, you know, Mark should talk to me first. We talked for 30 minutes and he didn't bring this up once. So he is chastising. He is calling out Mark in front of everyone. He is not following the rule that he just stated that he wanted Mark to follow. Mark was wrong, according to him, because Mark brought this up in front of the audience instead of him directly. And what does John do? Well, instead of bringing it up directly to Mark, he decides to then immediately go on the offensive and chastise Mark in front of the entire audience. Falling victim of Matthew 7 with the plank in his own eye. So it's quite ironic and funny that he applies that standard only to Mark and not himself, and doesn't even see the irony of it.
Exactly. And so you're over here, and this happens all the time in churches as well. We say this all, like, that's a regular thing we say here. This happens all the time, because it does, where people don't hold themselves to their own standard. They want to hold everyone else to their standard, not themselves. And this was just, and let's just be honest, it was John's way of kind of virtue signaling to the crowd of who's the more spiritual one and who is the less spiritual one, right? That's really what it is. It's because it's like, well, I could turn on this spiritual gaslight for just a moment, and maybe I could get the crowd to, because I could just hold the Bible like he did do this. I could hold the Bible as the authority over the people. But bottom line is that you are violating as you're doing that. You're trying to pull wool over people's eyes and they're not having it, as opposed to getting up there and doing the humble thing, which is first letting Mark probably finish what he had to say. Then going up there and be like, you know what, guys, I had a lapse in judgment. I didn't actually research the guy, or I didn't know what his routine was. I didn't know he was going to do that. Mark's right. That was wrong. We didn't know, though. So it was more of a sin of ignorance. We should have vetted better. We'll do better next time. And you know what? Everyone would have been like, yeah, that's awesome. Good job. Like, that's humility. That's people acknowledging. But instead, you turned the spiritual gaslight on and violated Matthew 18 yourself the way you were trying to apply it anyway.
Yeah. And Mark could have gone up right after that performance, that the first thing, and done exactly what John did, and take over the stage and act out of an emotion. But he starts off his commentary saying that he was praying about it. He was thinking about it. His voice is hoarse because he was praying to God about them and the audience and what was going on there. So he gave this a lot of thought. He even says that he's not condemning anyone, but it's an observation. And
right.
But then John jumps up and reacts emotionally. So I'll give him a little benefit of the doubt that, yeah, he was probably heated from that happening, was mad at him, and probably spoke out in maybe anger that he, if he would have thought maybe a little bit longer about it, maybe wouldn't have reacted the way he did. And maybe time has passed. Maybe he's apologized. I'm not sure.
Right. 100%. So we'll see what ends up happening there. Who knows? But I think Driscoll definitely did the right thing. So there's a few things we could probably learn from this. Don't you think, Brian?
Yes. Several good things I think we can learn.
I'm going to start off with the most obvious and probably the most important.
Yeah, if you're getting ready to start a men's conference, take these things to heart.
Starting off with, don't hire strippers for your church.
We have to say this.
I mean, just a thought of wisdom there. what else we got?
Well, you know, there's such thing as seeker friendly, but then there's this, which I would say is peeper friendly.
We are 12. But in all actuality, the other lesson here is don't be all about entertainment and shows, but be about proper substance. I got into some heated discourse on Twitter because I said recently that going to a church simply because of music, or going to a church because of music, or not going to church because of their music is very shallow. And I caught flack for it because people are like, well, what about all this? I'm like, but no, it is, because one, there's nothing biblical about that, right? That there has to be a certain kind of music or a certain style of music that you should go worship at, or a certain skill level of music. Be about the substance. Be about the people. Be about the vision of the thing, the exercise of what's really happening. Now, granted, if you guys have skilled musicians and you want to do skilled musician things, fantastic. Just like if your church is filled with skilled builders and architects, cool, build an awesome building. Use whatever you have available to you. You know, Brian, when we were both serving at the same church together, when I was a pastor and you were a deacon there, you, with your computer background, really helped with a lot of things, even on a budget. You know, it's like, yeah, use the skills you have, but don't be all about entertainment.
You can make things professional, and then there's just going way into the culture and just indulging with it. And I think it's a good lesson to just think about. I think churches that are maybe on the seeker friendly side, or even on the full entertainment, Nathan Rager said evangelical fun centers. Like, there's evangelical fun centers, and then there's like evangelical sin centers. We're going even farther into the culture. Like, at some point in time, there has to be some distinction, I think, between what is the church, what is ministry, and what is like an NFL halftime show and everything else. Like, there's the pure entertainment of the culture, which we do participate with sometimes, and then you have what is church. And I don't think the gospel needs an introduction. Like, I don't think it needs all the pomp and circumstance to get people excited. But if you're going to do something like that, maybe avoid one that's professing sin.
Right. And I mean, I'm a big advocate of art. Like, I love art. I was really involved in the arts throughout high school and in college. I love expression in that sense. I think art is one of the most underdeveloped things in church, in the evangelical church. It's not underdeveloped in like the Catholic Church and the Eastern Church, which are really big on that sort of thing, to present a certain level of holiness and structure, and the various different things have all this symbolism to them. But I'm a really big advocate for that, because art can like communicate to people on a deeper level, which is why maybe there's a certain song that you really connected with. Like, I say all the time, a really well done song can almost preach an entire like an hour long message in like 5 minutes. You know, it's impressive. It's a cool thing that maybe songs are able to do, or even a painting, or even this right here. This is a physical feat. Well, okay, I'm okay with us doing art in church and art being a form of worship, because I actually think arts can be a form of worship and not just music. But what I'm not okay with is us just making it all about entertainment values and not really caring about any spiritual substance around it whatsoever. It's just for showing off and pride and vanity at that point, right? So there's got to be a right heart, right motive. And I'm just saying that probably from a likely unbelieving male stripper, probably not going to have much substance there. So don't be about only about entertainment and shows, but be about proper substance and then good quality within that substance if you can. And if maybe the quality isn't as good as the substance, maybe there's a way you can serve in that church or situation to help improve the quality, right? So many of you probably are hoping that we improve the quality of the show. So, but it's not going to happen, because you have me.
Take constructive criticism well. Like, if someone goes, hold on, I think this was way over the line, don't respond in anger. Don't respond in emotion. Think about it. Like, take a step back, address the situation. Hey, did we mess up here? Don't immediately go on the defensive, because you might say something you regret. You might accidentally be defending sin, and that might not have been his intention.
Right.
Just 100%. A little bit of time to think.
Exactly. So I would just also encourage people, like, at these conferences, if anyone who runs these big conferences ever watches this video, you probably won't, but maybe try to find really good Christian artists to encourage people. Like, there is one time in my I remember this vividly in grade school. I went to, or is it middle school? I think it was middle school, actually. I went to a Christian camp, and this person was talking about the image of God and what sin did and all this stuff. And while they're doing it, they had this big canvas and they're painting this landscape, and it was very pretty and it was wonderful. And you're, while they're doing that, so this entire preaching message, they have this little, like one of those mics on that are just attached here, and they're painting. And then she called up a volunteer, and this person went up there, and she just like takes this paintbrush, puts in the black paint, and goes, I want you to take this black brush and paint straight down one side of this and a straight line down on the other side of this painting. And the kid, you could just tell, was like, but it's beautiful. Yeah. She's like, do it. So he does, and he goes, thank you. Goes down. Now you see this beautiful painting. It was these two big, ugly black just on it. And then she proceeds to talk about the redemptive power of God and what the gospel really does, and pulls out other colored paints and starts painting on top of those black stripes and creates beautiful trees out of them and finishes the entire landscape. And you're like, that was clever. But I distinctly remember that because it put an image, an art to what she was saying, which is we are created in this beautiful image of God. Sin has marred it, but God can redeem you out of it. And it just still just burns in my retina today. And art is powerful. So promote Christian artists, because I remember that, and it was such a powerful message to put the normally spoken words in a preaching message, but put it to art, and I remembered it better, and it took it more vividly. In a situation like this, you could have taught, there could have been a lot of symbolism in such a performance, a Christian symbolism. I mean, you have a sword swallower. Christ is described in Revelation as a sword protruding from his mouth. I mean, my brain's already going, there's so many cool things you could do with imagery from this to point to the Christian message. But that didn't really happen, so it's not really proper art. And obviously, the kind of person this was, not sure if it would have been good if you did it anyway.
Yeah.
But promote good Christian artists. There's so many of them out there, and I know many of them would just love an opportunity to do something like that. So especially don't just look for a guy who's been on Britain's Got Talent, because you know he's been on Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah,
another
level celebrity.
Right, exactly. Like, well, the other another thing we had was there's a Christian girl. There's so that I was part of a basketball program, a very popular one called Upward Basketball. Many people are probably familiar with Upward Basketball. I suck at basketball, but I was in the program anyway. But at the end of the year, they brought in this girl to also do another presentation. But she was one of like three people or something in the world. I don't know. It's been since middle school. So again, I don't remember, who could spin 10 basketballs on her body at the same time. Wow. And she like spins them on her knees, on her toes, on her like elbow and her feet. It's pretty cool. Like, and she did this whole presentation that she did the trick, and we're all like, what? And again, an athlete doing something really cool athletically and using that. And she talked about like perseverance and what perseverance looks like to accomplish things for Christ. And she paralleled it to athleticism. And it was something that, again, right now I'm 32 years old, still talking about it, because it was a Christian athlete at this point who was able to do this. So again, just reiterating, get Christian people to do this. There's plenty of them out there, and that Christians also can do really cool things. Yeah. Anyway, so another point here is to be like Mark Driscoll, but not like Mark Driscoll at all.
What do you mean by that, Will?
What I mean here is, of course, be like him in the sense of be courageous and unafraid to challenge the status quo, despite the consequences that could happen, you know. But also, don't be the guy that we have heard about in the Mars Hill podcast, where apparently he was very harsh and narcissistic and other issues that were under his leadership. Now, granted, you and I have also talked about this before. We don't know how seriously we can take all of Driscoll's the rebuke against Driscoll as well, because there was definitely some slants that were in that podcast series. But I've seen Mark Driscoll say some things. I've rebutted him on this channel. I have problems with Mark Driscoll, but one area I do not have a problem with it is when he's being bold for the sake of what is right. And I would love to see upright Christian leaders having that same level of boldness and courage. And in other words, be willing to serve Jesus, like Jesus Christ, King Jesus, and not mankind. Go for his approval, not the approval of mankind. Mankind is fickle, right? But Christ, he is king, and he's the one we should be pursuing. So that right there, yes. And of course, what also we can learn from this, of course, Brian, as you said.
Yeah, the gospel does not need an intro. You don't need to spice it up.
Right, exactly.
It is literally the best news.
So that really should be about this group just coming together, worshiping God together, and learning to disciple, learning to be men with one another. Like, how can we be better Christian men, fathers, and husbands? You know, that's an area that, as a father, you and I are both dads. I think that it's an area that I always need challenging on. It's like, how can I be a better dad? And I'm not a perfect father by any stretch of the imagination. Believe me, I story time with Will for 2 seconds. But the other day I was on my way to a meeting, and a bunch of the other guys here at the church, we piled into the car to go to this meeting. And my daughter was with us, and I put her in the car seat, but the guys were going to hop in another car. And right when I put her in the car seat, they're like, "Hey, Will, you have room?" I was like, "Yeah, everyone just roll in. We'll all go together. Sounds good." I buckled her in, but I didn't. I thought I buckled her in, but I got distracted, you see. Oh. So I hop in the car, and I'm just driving along. We're going to the meeting. And I hear Ellie in the back go, "What's this?" And I'm like, "What's what?" I turn my head, and she's standing up in her car seat, reaching for the handle at the top over the over the window. I was like, "Oh, oh my goodness!" So quickly, we had to tell our young 20-something who's never buckled in a kid. He was sitting in the back seat. We're like walking with through how to buckle, and so it's a whole thing. But that happened to me. I always need to learn how to be a better dad. So how about we make these men's conferences more about like being real good men, like proper masculinity, about, you know,
yeah,
remembering to buckle your kid in.
Don't get not distracted when your kid's life is on the line.
Look, Brian, not all of us can be perfect dads like yourself. All right. Some of us are still on the struggle bus. You've been doing this for like 13 years. All right. I've been doing this for 3. And plus, with my brain, we all know it's going to take me twice as long. So,
bro.
But that is me. So anyway, this here, it is weird to say, but I side with Mark Driscoll. I really wish that this sort of weird stuff would stop cropping up in churches. I really wish we'd have church cells more focused on the proper things and not trying to just generate hype for the sake of hype, but instead we should generate hype, but hype for King Jesus, hype for the brotherhood of Christian men. There's so many cool things you could do. Like, there's so many other things you could do. Like, bring in a Christian dude who's like a sharpshooter and let's see some trick shots. Like, I'm here for that. Anyway, there's all sorts of things. You get the point. But
yeah, and a lot of people kind of try to Mark for like, "Oh, he's just doing this to get attention or whatever." I was like, I don't even care if that was part of his angle. He was calling out untruth with truth. That if there's some pride that's mixed in there, if you want to assume his motive to somehow make you feel better about this, I don't understand that angle. But I guess you could levy the same thing against John. If you just want to go after people's motives that you don't know, I guess you can do that. And that's the internet does that in droves. But I think we just take this on face value. It was a seemingly non-Christian display to start the conference. Mark thought about it. He brought it up in front of everyone, got yelled at, accepted the criticism, and walked off stage. And then Pastor John responded to him in what seemed like a little bit of an ironic and hypocritical way. And here we are. So we can draw conclusions based on the actions we saw. And I think let's be a little bit careful about the motives.
100%. So I agree with you on that. I think we should be careful on that sort of thing. I just get tired of everyone, like you said, judging everyone's motives. I don't know. I'm going to guess to extend charity here. I think that this is probably just a lapse in judgment on John's part. I think it's one of those things where we talked about it today in a staff meeting where we talked about church growth. And one of the interesting things about church growth is that if your church is decreasing in numbers, it's a bad thing, right? Everyone recognizes this is bad. We're decreasing in numbers. We need to, but once you start increasing in numbers, it's a good thing, right? People go, "Oh, wow, it's good. We're growing. We see growth in our church. This is good." But then there's this weird point in time that if it grows too much, you know, you have 1,000 or 2,000 people going to your church. Well, now you've grown too much. Now you must be watering something down in order to get there. When in reality, it's really just about what you're doing in general. Like, you can, there's, of course, you might be watering some down, but you also might be doing something very, very right. Who knows? But what can happen is when you are a pastor of that many people and so many people flock to you for spiritual leadership, is that pride can get in the way. And you can get blinded by thinking that, well, I mean, I came up with all these ideas to where we got this. So now I am the man. I know this. No, I know what I'm doing. And you suddenly become unquestionable and you make foolish decisions because you are not humble enough to receive the rebuke, or you're not humble enough to think that maybe possibly this could be a very bad idea. So that sometimes pride can get in the way. Maybe that happened with John, or maybe it was a lapse in judgment to be charitable there. Maybe it was just, he didn't really know who the guy was. He just heard that this guy could do a few crazy stunts and thought it'd be a pretty cool stunt of an opener, which, sure. But I think in a church environment, we should probably be careful on who we put on display in front of everybody, because it used to be that the church was considered like the house of God. And, you know, that the way they talked about even Eucharist and all these other things was like very sacred. And so I just think we should be very careful to one degree or other. I'm not sure if there's a legalistic line you can draw on the ground, but definitely shouldn't be, you know, likely unbelievers who live carnal lives leading things carnally in front of a group of Christians. Like, I don't know exactly where all the line is for everything, but I'm pretty sure that crosses wherever that line is.
Yeah. You said, you know, go and sin no more, not come and entertain us.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, Brian, do you have anything else to say?
No, I think we covered it. So I hope there's some good things that come out of some of the missteps that happened here, and some lessons can be learned, and some hopefully relationships healed as well.
Yeah, I really hope I see maybe a nice, good professional statement from John and from Mark. And if I see this sort of thing continually from Mark Driscoll, I am here for it, because I love it. I want more of this sort of boldness in Christianity. I think that's what attracted a lot of people to Mark Driscoll in the first place. Unfortunately, though, that his leadership got to his own head, too, if all the allegations are true. So regardless, I would like to see more Christian courage nowadays, and more return to form of what the main mission should be. So anyhow, guys, this has been the Church Split. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Let us know what you think about this whole controversy in the comments below. And we'll see you next time on the Church Split. So take care and God bless. And guys, if you want to avoid seeing obnoxious ads like this,
we gotta be strong, we gotta be healthy. When you wanna feel nice and strong and satisfied, you gotta check out Good Ranchers. Right now, go to goodranchers.com, use promo code Knowles.
Or that.
We also wanna thank Free Life Soap, because I don't know about y'all, but I got a new shipment of soap
in.
Yes,
I did. Yes, sir.
And it was great.
Or this.
Hi guys, my name is Will, and I'm here to tell you why you should be a student at Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary.
Or that.
To get to that momentarily, first, I want to talk to you about Daily Wire's most trusted privacy partner and premier sponsor of this show, ExpressVPN. Are you aware that your browsing data is constantly being tracked and monitored?
Please support us on Patreon. We do not want to annoy you filthy heretics with any sort of ads on this show.
So when you're a Patreon subscriber, you also get access to our apologetics classes and other video content a whole month.
You can support us on Patreon for as low as $1 a month.